And it's time now for another chat with another guest on Memories and Music. And we have a gentleman who has seen some tragedy in his life. He has seen war. He has come through it with his head high. In fact, he's a fine story and a fine gentleman. I know that you're going to enjoy meeting him. His name is Mr. Tom Kiley. Mr. Kiley retired in September 1973. How many years had you put in with the company when you retired, Mr. Kiley?
34 years and 11 months.
And what was your position when you retired, Mr. Kiley?
I was Deputy Chief of Coppercliff Police Department when I retired.
All right, sir. Now, let's start, as you know, we like to do from the very beginning. Where are you from, sir?
I was born in St. Catharines, Quebec.
Now, I think most of us know something about St. Catharines, Ontario. I don't know much about St. Catharines, Quebec. Tell us something about that.
Well, St. Catharines, Quebec is about roughly 18 miles from Quebec City. It's a summer resort mainly, and also some small farms.
Well, now, it is now, or it was in your youth out there. Maybe it's been practically swallowed up by now, or do you know? Have you been back lately?
I have been back, and it has changed greatly. It's built up, and it's mostly a summer resort.
Well, now, Mr. Kiley, what did your father do there?
My father, mostly landscape gardening.
Oh, that's interesting. Had he taken a course in landscape gardening, or how did he get into that kind of work?
No, I don't believe he ever took a course, and he was very good at it. And several of the prominent people were after his services to look after their gardens and lawns, flowers, and so on.
He was a man with a green thumb, in other words.
He was, yes.
Do you remember him as that? Is that your memories of your father?
Yes, that's as I remember.
Did he talk a good deal about growing things and so on?
He never talked too much about it, but he used to do a lot of it.
And he went out and did it.
He's very good at it.
Very, very fine, sir. Now, what about your mother? Where does he come into this operation? Where does he come from?
My mother was born in St. Catharines, Quebec.
Oh. Well, that's keeping it all in the family, as it were. Now, what about brothers and sisters?
There were five boys and two girls.
Right. Well, now, you told me, Mr. Kiley, as we were preparing for the broadcast, that both your mother and your father died when you were fairly young. Now, what was that? What were those circumstances, sir?
My mother died when I was approximately 12 years of age, and my dad, I was 14 years old, I believe, when my dad passed away.
Well, 14 years of age, your father dead, your mother dead. Now, what happened? How'd you get along?
Well, I went to live with some people who were very good friends of my parents, and I worked for them, and also went to school.
Well, you know, you say to me that you went to work for some people who were very good friends of your parents. Now, those were gentler times, were they not? Were they an era when people, friends meant a little bit more or something, you think?
Well, these people were very wonderful people. They were very kind and considerate with me. And in fact, they couldn't do enough for me. They were really wonderful people.
Marvelous. Well, what were their names?
Their names were Henshies.
Henshie,
yes.
Are there still any Henshies in the St. Catharines area?
No, not anymore. They've all passed away.
I'll be darned, eh? Just a little piece of history came in,
yes.
Today, and a wonderful family, as you remember.
They were just wonderful with me.
Well, now, you went to school and public school in St. Catharines?
Yes, I went to St. Catharines Public School.
And about what year would you finish there, sir? You'd start around about 1916, I guess.
But roughly 1916. But 1924 or 5, I believe, when I finished.
So what happened when you finished school there?
I continued to live with the Henshies and work for them.
Well, now, these Henshies, this wonderful family, they interest me. Now, what, you worked for them, what sort of work did you do, or what work did they have, or what?
Well, they were CNR agents. They looked after the CNR Express, freight, and they also had a mail contract and ran a post office. I used to drive mail for them, and I also drove taxi for them when I was old enough, starting about 16.
How about that, eh? This would be a car you drove.
A car in summertime and a horse and sleigh in wintertime.
Is that right, eh? What would the horse and sleigh be? Part of the entertainment of the area or something?
Yes, they had several horses, if I recall it. It has five or six horses, which they used in winter, and also sparingly in summertime. But I enjoyed it very much.
Well, now, this fine family, these good people, they, did you not tell me that they were sort of, brothers and sisters, but and unmarried, but the two of the men married later in life. Now, what was the story there?
They were, when I first went to live with them, they were old maids and bachelors. But they, two of the men got married late in life, and also two of the girls.
Oh. Well, they, there may be some Henshey relatives around somewhere, not in St. Catharines, but...
No, there are Henshey's, the sons of these people. I believe they live in Montreal now.
Well, now, Tom, about your brothers and sisters. Now, we've got you looked after by the Henshey's. What, how are they looked after?
Well, my two sisters, they went to live with... relatives of ours who took good care of them and put them through school.
Right.
My two older brothers were on their own, looking after themselves, working. And the younger ones, one went with my uncle and another with his...
What word are you reaching for now?
Is with his godfather.
Well, now, Tom, how long were you with this Henshey family?
I went, I believe it was about 1925 when I went there, and I lived with them until 1937.
Okay, so what happened in 1937?
Well, in 1937, I decided I would make a move, and I decided Sudbury would probably be a good place to come to.
All right.
And that's what I did.
Well, that's fair enough. And how old would you be in 1937? You'd be, you were born, what, in 1909?
I was 28 years old when I left St. Catharines.
All right, sir. So, now you had all of Canada to choose from St. John to Newfoundland. Why Sudbury?
Well, I often read about Sudbury being famous for its nickel, and I thought it'd be one of the better places to go to.
Right, well now, okay, tell us then about your first day in Sudbury, your arrival here, what you did.
Well, when I arrived in Sudbury, things were rather dull. Now, the Inco or Falconbridge were hiring. After about approximately 1 week, I got work with Sudbury Motors, who were Buick Pontiac dealers here in Sudbury.
Oh, well, now that was, I suppose you worked a little bit with cars back with the Henshey's. Has that given you some experience there?
Well, I knew quite a bit about servicing cars, oil and grease, and that sort of work. I liked that, and I was...
Right. Now, seems to me you have some very kind memories of the service manager there.
Yes, the service manager, Johnny Wexel, was a very nice man. He was very strict about his work, but he was very kind to me, and in fact, he wished me to stay on.
Well, it would seem then, Tom, that you've had some problems, but you've met some nice people during your life.
Yes, I've met a lot of very wonderful people,
yes,
very kind
yes.
people.
You've been lucky. Well, then, you. How long did you stay with the Sudbury Motors?
I stayed with Sudbury Motors until August of 1938.
And what happened then?
I was hired by Inco to work at Creighton Mine.
I see. Well, now you were not a... toughen up. You were not a farm, but you hadn't worked on any farm work or anything, so I guess you'd find that fairly tough going when you first started out there.
Yes, the work was very hard. It was timbering and drilling. I found my muscles would be badly cramped up in the morning. I could scarcely get out of bed.
See.
But I got accustomed to it, and finally I got that I liked it fairly well.
Well, that's interesting, Tom. Now, how long did you stay working underground?
I worked underground until approximately 1 year. I think it was August
39. Oh, yes, and then what happened in 39?
I applied for employment with the Copper Cliff Police Department, and a few days later I was accepted.
Oh, now, who was the police chief at the time?
James Ramsbottom. He was chief of police at that time.
Right. Now, what would your duties be then in 39? Security around the plant site?
To start off with, I was security at Creighton, at the smelter and refinery, and also the town of Coppercliff.
Now, this would be mainly to keep fellas out of the plant, eh, from had a few drinks or something, is that right?
Yes, mostly keep intoxicated people from entering the plant and being injured, and also to prevent too much material going out.
This, I suppose this would take a certain amount of tact, eh, but I guess they'd thank you for it later, eh, at least the ones that you kept from getting hurt.
Yes, they didn't, most of them didn't approve of being sent home, but the following day they'd be thankful. They were very nice people.
Well, now, we're up around 39 or so, then it seems to me that you made another change, but around 40 or... Oh, no, a little later than that. No, around 42. What happened in 42?
Well, I was transferred to Levac in 1939, in December, and I worked in Levac until 1942.
And in 42?
In 1942, I joined the Canadian Army.
Where did you enlist?
I enlisted in Toronto.
I want to tell us something about your early days in the Army.
Well, it was the usual thing. We were sent to Simcoe, Ontario, for basic training. We lived in tents there on the old racetrack. And later, I went to Camp Borden for advanced infantry training.
Well, that's par for the course, I guess. And then you went overseas, right?
Yes, went overseas, I was transferred to the Canadian Provo Corps. And I went overseas with the Canadian Provo Corps.
Oh, and that was, you said, for 43 or so, right?
Yes, 1943.
Where did you land in England?
We landed off Greenock, Scotland, actually, and went by train to London, England.
All right. What were your first impressions of England?
Well, the first thing impressed me very much was the number of Canadian and troops from all over the world, Army, Navy, and Air Force, in the place, and the scarcity of food, I found.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Very true indeed. I also landed at Greenock, and I saw the mountains, the hills in the background. I don't know whether you were remembering seeing that or not.
It reminded me somewhat of the country north of Levac.
Maybe you're right. Now, tell us something about the time you spent in England.
Well, it was only a very short time in England. I would think about it, probably not any more than 6 weeks. The 5th Canadian Armoured Division was getting ready to go to Italy, and I was sent to the No. 5 Military Police Company, which was part of the 5th Division, and I went to Italy with them.
Well, now that would be quite an adventure. What boat did you sail on, and what were your conditions?
I can't recall the boat we sailed on from... When we left England, we changed ships twice on the way to Italy, once in Philippeville, which is on the North African coast, and...
Why was this? Were you attacked on the route? Was that the problem, or...?
We never knew what the reason was. We weren't attacked. We weren't attacked there.
That's a strange thing. You just got off one boat and on another,
That's right. Yeah.
One of those mysteries of the war that we haven't heard about, eh?
We changed in Algiers also. We changed ships there.
Right.
And just gone to another ship. We got into a French boat from Algiers and went right into the port of Naples from there.
Well, now, what are your memories, or what were your first impressions of Naples?
Well, it was a different country, and we didn't see it under ideal conditions. But I enjoyed Italy.
Where did you set up headquarters? Outside Naples someplace?
Our first headquarters was in a place called Casoria. It was a short distance outside of Naples. And we were regrouping there and picking up vehicles. And from there we went to the Artona front.
Right. Well, now, being a provo, or a military policeman with a bunch of 5th Div soldiers, this would require a good deal of tact and getting along. Would you agree with that, Tom?
Well, the 5th Division men, we had not much problem with them because we were with them in action and out of action, so they had a lot of respect for us, the same as we had for them. And in fact, we could depend on them for backing any time we got to a tough scrape.
Ah, Tom, it's good. You know, to talk to the first time I talked to an MP, but I can understand it. Now, it seems to me then that you went with the 5th Div. Of course, there was quite an army pushing up Italy, eh? The British, Americans, Canadians?
Yes, we were part of the British 8th Army.
Right.
And the American 5th Army was on our left flank.
Now, as I recall it, the big, the decisive battle there was Cassino, is that right?
I would say so. I would say that was held us up longer than any other part of Italy.
What are your memories of Cassino?
Well, what I can remember, Barry, is having about 2 days of 1,500 guns pounding. it was, I never heard anything like it in my life because it was the heaviest artillery barrage I ever was close to. You know?
Yeah.
And the American planes in daylight were bombing Cassino. Just
crazy. The guns night and day, I suppose.
Night and day, steady. Yeah.
Well, now, Cassino, it wasn't just a village. There was a monastery there, as I remember.
There was a monastery right on the peak of the hill, which the Germans had guns cemented into, and they were using that place to shell all the roads leading into Cassino.
But when the troops finally went up the hill, the Germans had retreated from that point.
Yeah, the main German army had retreated. They only left a few behind to keep shelling, to hold off the enemy, hold us off as long as they could.
Well, you know, Tom, those are incredible memories to have been present at things like that. Now, I haven't asked you. Are there any fellows around Sudbury here, Coppercliff here, or Levac, men that you met in England or in Italy or any of those places?
Well, I met Ron Crawford. I met him in Italy. He was from here. He's in Toronto now. And another member of the Coppercliff Police Department, Norm Harper. I think I just missed him over there. In fact, I believe we met on the same road, but didn't recognize him.
Well then, things got quieting down a little after Cassino, did they?
Yes, after Cassino, we moved up about 300 miles north of Rome to a place called Ravenna. And we were there for about a month or more. And the whole 5th Division regrouped, came back to Leghorn, and sailed from there into the south of France, into Marseille.
Right in from there?
And from Marseille, we went up to the Belgian border, a place called Ypres, which was famous in the First
World War.
World
War, right.
And we regrouped there, got new vehicles, and from then went on up to Nijmegen.
And where were you when the war ended?
I was in Nijmegen when the war ended. We had them up on the German border. I can't recall the name of the place. We had just returned to Nijmegen when...
Now, give us a little background about the organization of a Provo Corps military police, Tom. I mean, your hours that you would work and how you coped. How was it done?
The hours, it could be 2 or 3 days at a time without a break. And our duties were to make sure that the proper supplies got to the proper place. In other words, when the artillery moving up, that they got to the artillery and the infantry supplies getting to the infantry. We were also responsible for handling of prisoners and moving them back into the rear areas.
Oh, yes. Well, now, how would you handle this? Would five men march 100 prisoners back, or how was that handled?
Well, at first, we couldn't, in Italy, in fact, we didn't take too many prisoners. They didn't give in too easy. We'd only get a few at a time. But over in Holland, we didn't have time to disarm them. They were coming so fast, we just told them to keep on going. we didn't even disarm them. We didn't have the time. Because they were surrendering by the hundreds. And
at this point, I guess they figured the war was over and they were preferred to surrender to the Canadians and British than to the Russians.
They didn't want any part of the Russians, I don't think.
Well, that's true, Tom. I'd heard that before. Now, did you return back to Canada from Nijmegen?
Yes. Well, I went to Amsterdam. We were 7 months, we patrolled the city of Amsterdam. All the Canadian troops were mostly in that area, within an area of probably 50 miles of Amsterdam.
Now, tell us something about Amsterdam. What's it like?
Well, it's a very lovely city. although again we didn't see it under the best conditions. Food was rather scarce, rationed. But they were very nice people. I met some wonderful people in Amsterdam, very nice people.
Did many of them speak English?
Most of them could speak
something.
Enough to make themselves understood.
Right. Now, what about, you see, the windmills and the canals?
Oh, the canals,
all the
sure.
All the things that it's supposed to be, is it?
Yes, it's a really nice city. It's very beautiful.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad to hear that. Well, then, however, you, after your period in Amsterdam, you returned back to Canada and back to...
Came back to Canada and Coppercliff and went out to Levac.
Well, now, had things changed very much in the meantime?
No, there wasn't much change, practically the same.
And you were at Levac for, until when?
I was in Levac until May of 1953.
And then what happened?
I was transferred to Creighton.
Uh-huh. And, but you didn't stay indefinitely at Creighton?
No, I was made a sergeant at Creighton, and I believe it was 1956, I was transferred to Lowley.
Well,
and promoted to staff sergeant.
Very fine. And then another move up some years later, sir.
I believe it was 1962. I was transferred to headquarters in Coppercliff as an inspector.
Well, and did you then finish your career then at Coppercliff then as inspector?
I finished my career in Coppercliff. I think it was 1969. I was promoted to deputy chief of police. Which rank I held until
retired. You retired, eh?
Yes.
Now, one thing we have not talked about, Tom, we've talked about St. Catharines, Quebec, and Italy, and Casino, and everything else, but we have not talked about Mrs. Kiley or your family. Now, we've got to pick them up somewhere along the line here. when were you married, and to whom, sir?
I married Jean Lockhart. She was a Levac girl, married in 1953.
Right, and do you have any family?
Yes, we have eight of a family.
Well, that's fine. What are their names? Where are they? What
there are they five girls and three boys.
Right. Are they in this area?
One, my oldest daughter, is married. She lives in Toronto. I got two daughters married. One lives here in Sudbury, and one in Lively.
Right. And what about the boys?
The boys are still going to school.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, now, Tom... life has not been easy at all times for you. It is, however, it worked out pretty well. Would it be fair to say that, or would you say that Sudbury has been good to you?
Oh, I'd say yes. Sudbury was very good to me.
Well,
after all, I didn't have to stay here. If I could have bettered myself, I could have moved elsewhere. Right. I liked the people of Sudbury, and I've always enjoyed Sudbury. In fact, I'd miss it if I wasn't living here.
Fair enough. That's as nice a tribute as I've heard on the show, Tom. Now, one final thought now. You know, sometimes people think they have it tough or whatever. Have you, developed a philosophy of life of any kind, Tom? Any advice you'd give to a young fellow? Or maybe not. I don't know.
It's pretty hard for a person of my age to advise anybody who would be a youngster today, but times have changed.
I think you're right, eh? They claim the old values don't change, but sometimes one wonders, eh?
But I think life is pretty well what you make it, and it's got good and bad, but generally speaking, I enjoy life very much.
Very, very fine. Friends, neighbors, our guest today, Tom Kiley, who retired in September 1973 after 34 years and 11 months with International Nickel. He worked underground for a time. He was in the Army in the Provost Corps, returned here and retired with the rank of Deputy Chief. Mr. Kiley, thank you very much for being our guest on Memories and Music.
Thank you, sir, very much.